Our scripture lesson this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. And 31 starts as though you know what has preceded, so I thought I'd give just a moment of sharing that it's picking up at the end of Jesus' Passover meal with his disciples before his crucifixion, and is referring to Judas, who has just now left and Jesus is remaining with the 11 disciples. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Let us pray. Lord, we'd ask that your presence fill and infuse Pastor Paul as he shares your word with us this morning. Open our hearts and our minds to be receptive to this message, and may we each leave this place feeling inspired and willing to serve you. Amen.
Well, Nick apparently says that I'm talking about knives today. It is a little known fact that I do have a little bit of a fetish about knives. I usually carry one in my pocket, and it's usually different every day. And so that's what he's playing off of there. Back when Kendra and I got married, we were given a set of knives. I think it's the same standard set that's given to every married couple, you know. And that little set of knives worked pretty well until we actually went to use them. And once we started using them, realized that they, you know, they dulled up quickly. And then when we moved to Elgin back in 1998, I found myself having to learn to cook meals. My wife was working in Rockford, the same place she still works today, and that drive, you know, needing to be at a certain time, a certain place, meant that she left the house before 6 a.m., and usually returned before 7, 6:30, around there, p.m. That means that it meant to me if I wanted to eat, you know, before going back to church, or if I wanted to sustain life in our household, I needed to learn. So I went to that old set of cook knives and that we had gotten, and subsequently over the next 6 or 7 months, broke every one of them. And went searching for some really good ones. I settled on the ones that are here for you to look at and the fundraiser that we have here, because they're very sturdy. They're stainless steel. I've actually beaten on them with a hammer, and don't ask why. No. It was a tough steak, but enough about that. I just wanted to make sure you knew that those are, especially those of you who work in the kitchen, these are some that you will not go wishing you didn't buy. And so now for the main course of the day. Do you like that segue? Whoa. It was pathetic, wasn't it? We're leaving Easter. We've walked away now for a few weeks, and trying to incorporate and integrate, maybe even authenticate our faith, make it real as we've experienced Christ real in our lives, and weave into our life and our faith, our knowledge, and our heart. And weave those all together while still walking with some of the disciples that we've encountered through the Easter story. And once again today, we're going to walk with Peter for just one more step of his little journey with Christ. I reflect on last week and the weeks that came before, especially last week when Jesus and Peter were standing toe to toe on the beach, and Jesus said to Peter, "Do you love me unconditionally?" And Peter said, "Gosh, I think so," to him. "I think I like you a whole lot, buddy." And the discourse back and forth, and realizing that even though I wanted to look down upon Peter, I found myself in the exact same shoes, filling his shoes, struggling with my own faith, my own relationship. Do I worship me or do I worship Christ? Do I worship the gifts Christ has given me or do I worship God through those gifts? As humans, we are capable of amazing things, aren't we? Just think about the amazing the things that we can do. What a human body can do athletically when it's in shape and it can respond. Some amazing things that happen with athletes. What a human brain can comprehend intellectually. What, you know, was it Einstein who said that he figured that he used only 10% of his brain, you know, and all that has been discovered with our intellect, and even the amazing things of how our human will can inspire greatness and a moment later convince us that we're worth nothing. You know, the abilities, the human capacity that we have. And so the question for the day in walking past Easter is, why are we really here? What is the authentic, real purpose of all of this? All that we have been given and all that we do. Why isn't Christianity more like Star Trek? You know, I have often wondered, I've shared with you, you've shared back with me, how come if the purpose of life is to be with God, why then when we confess our faith in Christ, why don't we just snap on out of here? Why don't we just like, you know, the Star Trek movies, why don't we just beam on up to another place, to that other plane where we can be with God? And the only logical reason that I can find in discovery is that Jesus came to transform the world. And that transformation is not a self-centered one where we're just ourselves transformed by God, but instead of it just being selfish, we are somehow, and for some mysterious reason, we are allowed the gift and the privilege of being the very vessels that Jesus uses to transform other people and to transform the world. What a powerful, powerful vision of the purpose and the place of humanity. How many times this week have you had the opportunity through the news to look on the downside, the dark side of humanity, to look at the bad stuff and say humans and humanity are just destined to be pathetic. Where you know, the work of Jesus in our lives really flips that mentality upside down and has it bobbing for air, where we truly are given the very privilege of being the created order by which God wishes to transform the entire world. He left this transformation process as our goal and as our purpose. How we doing? How we doing? You still with me? Really? Just checking. It's got a little warm in here. Is it just me? Or is it because we got all these bodies in here together? That's the problem. That's the problem, Ackerlin, when you leave the door open out there. People come in. Let's review that we are planned for God's pleasure. When God planned us, it was so that we would be pleasure in His eyes, pleasure in His sight, loved by Him, worshiping God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We were formed to be in relationship with each other. We need each other. It's part of the way that our DNA has been created, that we need to be in relationship with each other. Excuse me. We have been shaped to be of good use to God. That's the message of today. And now back where Donna left off with Peter again and the disciples. Peter is being given the prediction that we have already lived through in the Easter time together. When Jesus says to him, and did you catch when she was reading that the narrator called him Simon Peter? Now, last week we remembered that Jesus gave him the name Peter. You are the rock. And then at the end of the Bible story that John wrote, Jesus called him Simon, son of John, changing the name up again, calling him by his middle name, so to speak, and not as the rock. Well, here John puts both of those together. Simon, the one who had the name before, and Peter, the new name, puts them together, showing maybe that Peter's just on the way. He's the ye watcher, not the ye holy one, as we started out the message today. So the conversation says that Jesus wants first and foremost for God to have the glory. And God will have the glory through those words that got tossed back and forth from 31 to 34 or thereabouts in that verse. That God will have the glory through humanity, through the work that we leave Jesus to do in our midst, the work that we become as we become more like Christ. And he leaves as a final word that night when they have the meal together. This new command that I have shared with you, I give to you again. Will you love one another? Agape, agapo, unconditionally love each other. And if you do love one another, you will show yourselves to be my followers. People, it says, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another, shows the simplicity of the gospel message. Rick Warren mentioned to me this week as I read his words that physically we all have an individual heartbeat. And he even says, I don't have anything to really back this up, but he even says that each of us has some uniqueness in that heartbeat, kind of like our fingerprint is unique and other traits of our bodies are unique. And in the same way that God has given us an emotional heartbeat, something that really makes our heart pitter-patter, that may be a person, that may be maybe some other subject, but our heartbeat, our heart will race. It will actually change beats when we think about subjects or activities or circumstances that really interest us. Our heart rate will rise. Think about that for a moment. We care about some things. We don't care about other things. There's a piece of paper that you should have been given when you walked in for worship. A large piece of paper that has another graph on it of what I see as the struggle of ministry. And I give that to you to find your own place on it where you believe you are as a minister of Christ. And I want to talk about that for our time together, what it means for us to be ministers of Christ. The foundational facts that are on the top of that sheet. The first one, if we talk about ourselves as ministers of Christ, those who are the ones who carry Christ in order for Christ to transform through us, through those things that turn us on, those interests that we have, that Jesus wants to minister through you. Jesus wants to minister through you. He'll connect with you through your emotional heartbeat. He'll connect with you by that thing that makes your heart race. And that connection that you make, that'll be the place where he wants to wants to do work today and tomorrow through you. Do you remember going to school? Do you remember sitting through classes that you didn't like? Or maybe you had to teach at a class that you probably could have had interest in, but there was a teacher that just didn't connect with you? I remember a man, young man, excuse me, in my grade school and early high school. His name was Derek, and Derek was one that, back in that day, how dare he wear blue jeans every day to school? Oh, he was one that smelt of cigarettes, and he always seemed a little bit unclean and undone. We didn't think much of Derek. Derek probably didn't think much of us. Derek didn't seem to do very well in school. It didn't seem to be something that really attracted him. In fact, we found him more absent than present for most of the years that I can remember. I learned just a couple of years ago that Derek has become a scientist, an astrology scientist. He studies stars and has actually created and proven a theory of astronomy that has begun to change the way that they think about things out there in the universe. Maybe it was that Derek didn't connect because we didn't talk about things that connected to him, things that turned him on. Maybe you have an experience that you can touch on like this, where when in education something clicked with you and you finally got it, or you finally began to see that there could be a future for you in there. That's the place, by the way. That's the place Jesus wants to use to help you in your lives. That's the first foundational fact of yourself, looking at yourself as a minister of the gospel of Christ. Ministry is formed and embodied in love. That's the second foundational fact. How do we know that we're clicking? How do we know, by the way, what we're really here to do or why we are really here? Well, we know when we're clicking on it, when love is growing in our midst. When love, in the agape sense, the Jesus sense of the word, when love is growing, you know that you're on to where God wishes you to be. Because it makes sense, doesn't it? God is love. Where God is, love is. Where God is not, love will not be. When we know that we're living in the groove with Christ is when we know that we're working and embodying love. When decisions are based on love for people and not for selfish gain, love is in our midst. One of the most intimidating facts of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that you and I are given the gift and the ability to minister in love to the world. Right here is where many, many people get intimidated enough that they back off. I can remember a pastor telling me, "You are a minister. You have all of the privileges of ministry that he said that he had." And I struggled with that, and you know, thought that meant that I was supposed to be a pastor someday. And turned out that was the case for me. But that's not the case for every person. And many, many people walk up to the line where they maybe understand or even begin to embrace that there's a ministry for each to have, but then back off and allow somebody else, or so they think, somebody else to do that work, to minister. That may mean to go into a more formal ministry like some of us in this congregation have. However, here's the real challenge. Here's the real challenge for the day. When you wake up tomorrow and either your alarm goes off or you're awakened by the beautiful music of the robins at 4 o'clock in the morning, why do they have to sing then? They would be just as pretty right now, wouldn't they? When you're awakened by whatever music draws you to consciousness in the morning, tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, as you encounter the life that you have created and that you live in, all of the things that make you struggle with that life, all of the things that you find joyful in that life, during that time when you walk daily, hourly, minutely through your life, the challenge, here's the challenge, see yourself as a person who has entered someplace in the world, someplace in the community that no one else has entered, and your purpose there is to minister, to take Jesus someplace where Jesus cannot go without you. That's what it means to be in ministry. That's what Jesus means by giving God the glory through our lives, and they will know that we are the followers of Christ by the love that we share in those places. How about that as a challenge? Is that not a heavy challenge? To me, that is the ultimate answer to the question, what are we really here to do? What is our purpose here on earth? Why don't we get beamed out? Because tomorrow, the answer is, tomorrow you will go somewhere. Jesus already knows where you're going. And at that place, you will have the opportunity to show Jesus to someone else, to actually be Jesus with skin on through the love of Christ. Now, isn't that heavy? That's a heavy responsibility. And it shows to me that humanity actually is created for good, and not for the evil that we see all too often. And the only struggle with this that I have, the only real place where this is a struggle for me, is when I have to let my brain work and think about people that I encounter this time of year on a daily basis, who don't have all of the pieces of humanity put together fully for them. There are people that live in our lives that we know, and they're just not fully complete for one reason or another. And I struggle and have struggled in the past. Are they, what is their purpose? Because this stuff that I just talked about, that only makes sense to someone that can actually walk, go somewhere, someone who actually has a job, someone who can actually think with intellectual circles and tones, someone who is capable of rational thought and action. The theology falls apart for those who aren't yet in that category or can't be in that category or haven't been genetically designed that way. And the struggle has led me to really explore that. There's a person in my own family, and we wonder on a regular basis, what's her real purpose? I read something by Henry Nouwen. I don't know if you know Henry Nouwen. He was a great theologian, a Roman Catholic a priest who actually left the priesthood order that he was a part of and lived in a residential community that served mentally handicapped people. And he did this for an extended period of time in his life and in his ministry. And he writes about this, that his writing on this and what he said was this, that the community in which I am living, which was called Daybreak, it doesn't exist to help mentally handicapped people get normal. Now catch this. But to help them share their spiritual gifts with the world. The poor of spirit is what he called them. The poor of spirit are given to us for our own conversion. They're given to us so that in their poverty, they can reveal God to us and hold us close to the gospel. Heavy. We all have a purpose. We all have something that we can do. And this there is a ministry, believe it or not, there is a ministry that in which only you can do. Only you can do. Therefore, if it is not being done, it will not get done. Try that one on. Here's the way we explore what those are, what that only ministry may be. Exploration that may include six different questions or thoughts. Thinking about your family experiences. What did you learn growing up with your family, positive or negative, good or bad? Educational experiences. What were your favorite subjects in school? Put those together. Keep working with that. What is your vocational experience? What jobs have you been most effective in and enjoyed the most? What spiritual experiences have you had? What have been your most meaningful times with God? Connecting those four together and adding to it, how have you served God in the past that has really helped or turned on that fire inside? And add to that, please, the painful experiences of your life. What problems, what hurts, what thorns, what trials have you encountered? And what have you learned together? The family experiences, educational experiences, vocational experiences, spiritual experiences, ministry experiences, and painful experiences. Put them all together. And in putting all of those together and integrating all of those together, you will find that the problems, the hurts, the joys, the experiences all can lead to a ministry which only you can do. By the way, as you receive a card or two or five these next few weeks from someone who is graduating from high school, when you receive that card, would you say a prayer for that special person that God will be able to encounter and work in their life so that they can find their ministry gift as well? So that they aren't simply given the task of going out and finding themselves on their own, but somehow we, the church, can stay connected with them. Tell them that you want to be a part of their journey when you go and share cake with them write notes to them and encourage them along the way. Is this becoming an 18, 19-year-old in our culture today is a frightening, very scary time with the entire global world out in front and all the stimulus. It's a very frightening time to have a solid personhood. Keep that in mind. And the challenge as we turn, would you turn to page 38? We're going to welcome some new members in. The challenge to live daily as a minister of the gospel, rooted in agape, and living what we call the mission of the congregation, the mission of our time together as people of this church, bringing God's love to life. I'm not sure how many are actually at this service, but the people that are joining today are Sean and Jackie Hamilton, Joe Castro, Brian and Sarah Rasmussen, Joe and Mariah Gunderson, Ed and Tammy Gromes. Would you come forward if you're here, and let's receive you into membership of the church. Looks like it's Joe Castro. Wait, I have something for you. Joe has been among us for a while, and she has found a place here with many people, some whom she's known outside of this place, and some she's known from this place in the community. And we have four questions that we ask. They're on page 38. I'll give this to you so that you can look along, but I'm not going to ask them the same way. I'm going to talk about these right here. What we talk about in membership and what it means is kind of summed up in prayers, presence, gifts, and service. Those are four words that have kind of become sterile in life around places like churches. And so I want to ask you the questions in a different kind of way. Instead of just saying, will you pray and be a good, faithful follower of Christ, we say it this way: would you continue in your faith journey and add to your faith journey all of this? Will you pray for us? Will you do the work of following Christ in our midst so that we know together what it means to show love? And then will you grace us with your presence? That doesn't mean that when we come looking for you because you've been on vacation for 3 weeks, that you feel guilty for not being here. Instead, what it means is that in our presence together, we find joy. Will you grace us with that presence so that we can continue to grow in relationship with each other? And the gifts, the next question is about gifts. Will you share, and should I say continue to share, the gifts that you have been given by God with all of us so that together we can know what it means to be in ministry together? And what's the last one there? Service, right? As if we forget about service. Will you engage where we engage in the community so that we can show what it really means to be people who follow Christ and show His love? How about it? Are you happy? Would you welcome her? Mm-hmm.